The Benjamin Dixon Show is only possible with listener support. Go to www.thebenjamindixonshow.com to register for our blog and join the Progressive Army.
We're curing 1,000 people's blindness. It's gonna be crazy.
Most of us see the world like this. But here's the thing, 200 million people see the world like this. But I just made it one less.
Oh. Wow.
She is just one of 1,000 blind people we help from around the world.
They can't see, but we have all the technology to fix it.
Yep, half of all the blindness in the world is people who need a 10-minute surgery.
Crazy.
Yeah.
That's the sound of Mr. Beast. And if I'm going to be perfectly honest with you, I only knew about this individual almost tangentially through overhearing my kids talk about him from Fortnite. Apparently he has a skin on Fortnite as well. Super popular guy amongst my children. I had no idea who he was until this video came out two days ago, already at 62 million views on YouTube. An amazing video where he paid for, because of his success, he was able to pay for 1,000 people to have the surgery necessary for them to be able to see again. And as you can hear in that clip, most of the blindness in the world, or half of the blindness in the world, is something that's curable. And as the doctor said in the clip, it only takes a 10-minute surgery. So Mr. Beast took it upon himself to put together this piece of content, which benefited over 1,000 people, and they all are able to see now. This video has caused quite the controversy on social media for a couple of reasons that I think are pertinent to this show, and I want to talk about it, obviously. I want to play a clip first from our friend Hassan Piker, from formerly of TYT, who has Twitch streaming fame extraordinaire, and he outlined why he was upset about it. Now, when I play this clip, I want you to understand his response went viral, and that caused such a stir on Twitter in particular that Mr. Beast had to respond. I'll read two of the responses from Mr. Beast, and you'll understand exactly why we're talking about it on today's episode. First, here's Hassan.
You watch this video, you go, oh, how cute and how nice. I watch the video and I'm filled with rage.
What's wrong with you?
That we shut off access to a 10-minute procedure because we paywalled it and decided that, like, some people just simply can't get it. It is so insanely frustrating it's up to, like, one YouTube guy to, like, decide to make content out of it that people who are too poor can't just fucking see. That's insane. Anyway, sorry. It's just, like, a deeply, deeply frustrating concept.
You pay for my surgery?
Yes.
So that response again went viral, and here is the reaction from Mr. Beast. Again, I didn't know who Mr. Beast was except for the fact that my kids have referenced them, and when I mentioned Mr. Beast in the house yesterday, they lit up and they came and they were inspecting what I was saying because they know the work I do. Normally when I say someone's name, that means I have to come for them. My kids were like, hold on, Mr. Beast is a good guy. He does great things. And I'm like, yeah, I looked at the video. I didn't have the same reaction as Hassan. I understand the underlying principle of exactly what Hassan is saying. But when I saw the video, I'm like, wow, this is actually a great thing. I can imagine how much it cost for him to do this. And of course, there's the questions over, like, people make, you know, doing these things kind of performatively, but you can't say anything to those 1,000 people that he just helped, like, performative or not, you know, content, clicks, whatever, 62 million views in 2 days. You know, I'm sure I know YouTube well. That should cover all of his expenses in short order. By the time, you know, give it a week, he will be making a profit off of this endeavor. But that's kind of besides the point of anyone's criticism. I haven't heard anyone criticize him from that perspective. And quite frankly, I think if you can make a profit off of doing good, that is a much better model than what we have in society right now. Right. If people can be rewarded for doing actual, tangible, material good, then that's exactly how they should be rewarded versus everything else. So I'm not knocking Mr. Beast. I just want to make sure that people have the full context of this conversation. Now, Mr. Beast had this reply on Twitter. He said, Twitter says rich people should help others with their money. Mr. Beast says, okay, I'll use my money to help people. And I promise to give away all the money before I die, every single penny. And then Twitter in response says, Mr. Beast is bad. Well, okay. I mean, I'll give him this. Everyone has a right to be hyperbolic. No one really said that you were a bad guy, Mr. Beast. But I definitely understand how people could take Hassan's response as a negative one in light of something that is a definitive good. Like, he did something that was unquestionably good, regardless of the motivations behind it, the inspiration. You know, I do get tired of seeing people give money away to homeless people with a camera in one hand and a dollar in the other hand. But again, it's much better than people who are making money off of selling ivermectin, people who are making money off of compounding our trauma and our pain here, the exploitative nature of capitalism. Generally speaking, this is definitely not the worst version of capitalism at all. I want to read one more response from him. He said this is Mr. Beast. He said, I don't understand why curable blindness is a thing. Why don't governments step in and help? Even if you're thinking purely from a financial standpoint, it's hard to see how they won't get return on investment on taxes from people being able to work again. Oh, yeah. Now he's getting it. And that's what Hassan was talking about. You know, Hassan doesn't need me to take up for him, and I'm not doing that. But at the end of the day, we have a system that is so exploitative that it seeks to make a profit. Not seeks. It absolutely makes a profit off of things that can be cured. It makes a profit off of people who are sick and dying from cancer, who are sick and dying from any number of ailments. I mean, the best way to demonstrate this is the fact that we are declaring an end to the pandemic when still 500 people are dying a day from something that is totally preventable. And the reason people are still dying from it, the reason we didn't shut down, the reason we are going to be living with COVID-19 for decades to come. Oh, man, I want to rebuke myself for that sentence. God, please help us to get away from this pandemic sooner rather than later. But the reason we are in the situation we are in right now is because we are so greedy. This system in America, the healthcare system in America, is so greedy. It would rather see you die than to give up one iota of a penny. The insurance industry is so corrupt and so greedy that even if you are paying, if you're lucky enough to have insurance, do you know how many people don't even have insurance in this country? I was going to say on this planet, but just in this country alone. People can't go to the dentist. You know how many people are walking around with holes in their teeth because they can't get insurance? They can't get insurance because it's tied to your job. And if you can't get, an entrepreneur, if you're in between the gaps of starting a business and you can't afford the insurance yet, I mean, there's just so many people who are living without insurance and can't get basic medical procedures, let alone getting a surgery that even if it only lasts 10 minutes, thousands of people live in this situation every day because this profits and benefits a very small group of people. This is what Hassan was talking about. And I see that Mr. Beast kind of got the picture later on. And so here's the question. Should we be dependent on the altruism, the philanthropy of rich people in order to get what technology has made readily accessible to people who can afford it? Why is this the type of system that we are destined to live in for the rest of civilization? Even worse, should companies be profiting off of people in their most vulnerable state? And even if we do allow for it, why doesn't the government come in and instead of giving handouts to banks and bailing out the banks and giving handouts to the fossil fuel industry, why aren't they doing things that could be a definitive good for their own tax base? That's because the way the system is currently structured is not to benefit the masses, but to benefit the few at the expense of the masses. I want to play a clip that I got from Anton Gerashenko. He is the advisor to, or an advisor to, the Minister of Internal Affairs at Ukraine. It is a video that is attempting to recruit American veterans, military veterans, to come and fight in Ukraine on behalf of Russia. Now, the video is from the Wagner Group, that is the primary contractor, the primary source for troops on the ground fighting in Ukraine, fighting for Vladimir Putin. And they are now attempting, according to Gerashenko, attempting to appeal to American veterans. Take a listen in and you'll hear the language that specifically speaks to a very particular group of veterans. Listen in.
You were a hero to your country, giving your best years in the army. You dreamed of defeating evil. You dreamed of doing much to make America great again. But in reality, you saw criminal others, the destruction of nations, the death of civilians, and all for the will of a bunch of families who thought they were earthly gods, deciding who would live under the rule and who would be destroyed. You began to realize that this is the side of evil. This is not the America the founding fathers dreamed of. It has become the focus of the evil that is destroying the whole world. And today, the only country fighting this evil is Russia. If you're a true patriot of the very future great America, join the ranks of the warriors of Russia. Help defeat evil, or it will be too late for everyone.
Okay, so first and foremost, it must be really going really bad. I mean, it is going really bad for Russia in Ukraine. The Russian soldiers, and I don't say this with any amount of joy because I don't revel in the deaths of anyone, but, you know, they messed around and found out that Ukraine was not that easy to take over. And they're losing, I think, in the hundreds of thousands of troops right now that they're down. And so recruitment must be going really bad for the Wagner Group. Really bad. But the reality of it is that one thing that Vladimir Putin is actually good at, he's not really, his soldiers aren't that good. His army really has panned out to not be as good as his propaganda. And so we have to look at this video through the lens of propaganda. One, will it appeal to some Americans? Absolutely. You already have some Americans who are so committed in their hatred of Democrats and Joe Biden, who's just the most recent Democrat. They're so committed to their hatred of Democrats that they're willing to betray the Constitution and the United States of America. You already see them online pledging their allegiance to Vladimir Putin. That's one aspect of it. They not only hate Democrats that much, it's really rooted in the fact that they hate black people and the LGBTQIA community, and they hate Jewish people and they hate Muslims so much that they want to align with a white supremacist based nation like Russia. So will this appeal to the white supremacists in the military, ex-veteran or veterans? Absolutely. I mean, this is going to appeal to a base of people who are buying into this global pan-reactionary movement that is founded on global white male Christian supremacy. And so you have to listen to this through the lens of aggrieved white men, those who serve the country. And honestly, they may be on the receiving end of how poorly the system treats our soldiers when they get back home. But you also have to listen to it through the lens of a person, Vladimir Putin, who is 100% committed to destabilizing the United States of America from within. That's his route to power. He weaponizes separatist movements inside of a nation. This is what he did in Ukraine. And he uses that to then create a gaslighting campaign of liberating the people when he created the problem in the first place with and through his propaganda, with the help of propagandists inside of Ukraine. And we already see the list of American propagandists who are lining up to do the bidding of Vladimir Putin and to carry his water for him in the United States. So he has very fertile ground in the United States to be able to pull this off. I want you to listen to this clip from Igor Novikov, who was a former advisor to President Zelensky. And listen to him as he explains the strategy that is being employed in this video.
Basically, it's a recruitment video for the Wagner mercenary group. But this particular one is extremely disturbing because it's basically trying to appeal to the American veterans using a very familiar lingo about making America great again. And, you know, there being a global conspiracy, you know, trying to conquer the world, you know, the elites, deep states and so on and so forth. And the only kind of power fighting that evil conspiracy is Russia. They're trying to recruit Americans. Now, that's dangerous because if, God forbid, you know, some of the QAnon followers with military experience or somebody else who was like taking part in Jan 6 or something, you know, some not very bright people, if they, God forbid, join the Wagner group and start fighting in Ukraine and get killed, that will give Russia and QAnon a very disturbing narrative about the West and the Ukrainians killing Americans. This conspiracy killing, actually physically killing Americans. Now, the second very disturbing thing about it is how much we're underestimating the likes of Tucker Carlson and Mike Flynn and, you know, Rudy Giuliani's of this world. Why? Because, I mean, they might look, you know, as simple lunatics and, you know, completely benign. But let me remind you one thing Russia's good at. I mean, their tanks might not be that great. Their military might be clueless completely. But one thing they do really well is informational warfare. Now, if that kind of narrative falls into their hands, it will allow them to destabilize America quite badly.
Now, the group has already been declared as a transnational criminal organization by the American federal government and has had sanctions placed against it by the Treasury Department. So anyone who actually decides to go over there and fight, whether they make it back home alive or not, will have been in violation of working with nations and organizations that have been sanctioned. But that has not stopped any of these people before. I mean, this is one of the reasons that Charles McGonigal has been arrested. He still decided to do business and receive hundreds of thousands of dollars from individuals, oligarchs who are already sanctioned. But you and I both know you are going to have some conservative zealot who sees a video like this and goes to Ukraine to fight on behalf of Vladimir Putin, and someone's going to get killed. And so one thing Vladimir Putin is really good at, their army isn't really worth much right now, but the propaganda is top tier. And that's what we have to look out for, because you have plenty of propagandists in the United States who make their YouTube click money off of supporting Vladimir Putin. They make their livelihoods off of spreading propaganda from Russia. We know this. And so if this bait is given to them, they are going to run with it to destabilize this nation even more. All right. We'll be back after this break.
Go to www.patreon.com/thebpdshow and get twice the content and unfiltered interviews without any of the commercial interruptions. Welcome back to the Benjamin Dixon Show. Visit us online at thebenjamindixonshow.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Speaking of the effectiveness of propaganda, I want to bring in the greatest propagandists in this country, Fox News and the Republican Party, as they have found their way to masterfully circumvent the conversation about the police, as well as the biases that are present in the police. I don't care what color you are. In the aftermath of the Tyre Nichols video being released, listen to this first clip of Sean Hannity last night as he said, I mean, he just went for the gold. The other clips I'm going to play, one's from Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene and another Republican representative, they're beating around the bush. But I want to start with the gold prize of Sean Hannity just all declaring that there is no systemic racism in policing.
When it comes to the most lethal form of force, police shootings, the study finds no racial bias. So based on both academic studies and actual data, there is no systemic racism in policing. It doesn't exist.
Now, this is Fox News, so this is par for the course. However, it just should be noted that despite all of the evidence to the contrary, the Republican Party and the conservatives in this country, they are committed to looking us in the face and telling us to ignore our lying eyes, right? They will look tell us to look at the George Floyd video and say he didn't die from Derek Chauvin putting his knee on his neck. He died from a drug overdose. They are 100% committed to standing up for white supremacy. And this is, as a sidebar, this is why they will never get the majority of black votes, when in reality, there are enough conservative black people in this country that the Republican Party, quite frankly, could divide the Democratic Party vote if they just were not rabidly racist. But they are so committed to their racism that people like Marjorie Taylor Greene today on the House Oversight Committee, this is what she said.
I do agree with you about Tyre Nichols' death. I watched the video and it was tragic and extremely difficult to watch. I would also like to point out that that city is Democrat controlled and the five officers that have been arrested and charged are black. And I think that this isn't an issue of racism or anything like that. But I'd like to also point something that I'd hope you share with me. There's a woman in this room whose daughter was murdered on January 6th, Ashley Babbitt. And Ashley Babbitt there's never been a trial. As a matter of fact, no one has cared about the person that shot and killed her. And no one in this Congress has really addressed that issue. January 6th committee didn't address it. And I believe that there are many people that came into the Capitol on January 6th whose civil rights and liberties are being violated heavily. And this committee will, I hope, Mr. Chairman, look into those civil rights abuses because they're happening in a jail right here in this city.
So let me get this right. You don't think that there's any racism that's connected to the murder of Tyre Nichols, despite the fact that those police officers were in an environment where they felt so cavalier. In fact, they did what they did in front of other people, including white folks. This was so acceptable to treat a black person like this in Memphis that other bystanders, including EMTs, stood by and watched it happen. But there's no racism involved because the key perpetrators were black. And oh, by the way, let's not forget about Ashley Babbitt and the people who are in jail for the insurrection. Right. This is masterful propaganda. I have to give it to Marjorie. She actually used some functioning digits in her brain. She actually had to sit down and think this through in order to be able to pivot from Tyre Nichols to Ashley Babbitt, who should not have resisted. She should have followed instructions. Most of all, she should not have been trying to overthrow the United States government. The penalty for treason in this country does include death, but I digress. Here's one more Republican representative who took his spin to Morning Joe. New York Republican Representative Anthony D'Esposito. Listen to how he says that what happened in Memphis was because of lower standards in policing.
What's happening right now is, unfortunately, many departments are lowering their standards, you know, and it's because of the attack from the far left on law enforcement and the job that people do each and every day. We've seen it. I'll use my department of the NYPD as an example. I mean, this year alone, we've seen the record amount of exits. I think there's nothing more telling when you hear from members of law enforcement who have for generations been part of protecting and serving, and they are telling their children, their grandchildren, their nieces and nephews that they shouldn't join the police department because of the attack that we've seen from the far left. So I think that we need to embrace, we need to call for training, and we need to make sure that departments aren't lowering their standards across this nation because it's, as we see, it's affecting the day-to-day protection of communities.
There you go. He found a way to be two for one racist. He's racist against the officers who committed the crime because obviously the standards were too low. No, champ, they were the elite. They were Memphis's elite. They were part of the Scorpion unit. I mean, with a cool ass name like Scorpion, they had to be the best of the best. But he had to lower the standards. He had to use the argument of a lowered standard so that he can get across a two-for-one racism. One, make sure that no one looks at the underlying problem of systemic racism in our policing, because the police agencies across this country are occupying black communities. Black communities, especially impoverished black communities, are occupied territories. You can see a distinct difference between driving through a black community that is under siege and going across the bridge to a community that has no police presence whatsoever. The safest communities in this country are not the ones with the most police. Ask yourself why. They're the ones with the most resources. But this is their way of protecting the police state from ever having any accountability whatsoever. Republicans are what, and hey, I want to make a correction. It's not just Republicans. Democrats are 100% on board with protecting the police state too. These are Democratic run cities. These are Democratic run cities that empower the police state with an overwhelming percentage of the state of the city's budget every single year. Democrat mayors are giving these dollars to the policing agencies, just like Republicans. And we find ourselves in a race to the bottom with Democrats like Joe Biden trying to prove that he's better on policing because he's going to put 100,000 new cops on the streets so we can make our communities safe. Meanwhile, Republicans are spinning this narrative. Every time a black person is killed, they find a way of, one, severing the conversation about systemic racism that is present in the very nature of the police. And then two, making sure that more money is giving to the police state because it is a protection racket. If you don't give cops what they want, they turn on you. Ask Mayor de Blasio, who honestly gave them what they wanted, but it wasn't enough. Do you remember when the police all turned their back on him at one particular funeral? If you don't do what these police and the police unions want, you could find yourself in serious trouble, in danger. It is a protection racket, and if you don't turn over your money every single month, they will come after you. And so we are at the mercy of this militarized police state that has the biggest budgets. I mean, the budgets for the NYPD rival the defense budget of some nations. But when it comes down to where this money is being spent, it's being spent by sending Gestapo stormtroopers into the black community to exploit, number one, for profit. We saw that since Ferguson, the Department of Justice revealed that these departments are exploiting black people to fund the city budgets. And then number two, it's going to directly harming black people. And when that's not enough, I've always said the spillover effect. The spillover effect means that what started and was perfected in the black community was never going to stay there. We always knew that the kind of abuse that was happening to black people every day in this country would eventually spill over and start impacting white people. Ask the family of Daniel Shaver. One of the worst videos I have ever seen of a police killing. A man on his hands and knees begging for his life. Having to play a sadistic game of Simon Says with a police officer who ended up killing him while he was on his hands and knees begging. You know why? And that officer got off with it, by the way. Do you know why he was able to get away with it? Because the people in these cities who serve on these juries are being fed information and they are already pre-programmed through the propaganda that is on television every night to see every single police officer as a hero. And so whatever they did had to be right. And when you have a system that does not want to prosecute them in the first place, that the police chiefs are besties with the judges, that the mayor, whether they are in favor of the policing or they're being held hostage, they are not going to stand up. When you see these kind of systems, you better believe it won't only be black people being killed by the police and getting away with it. All right. I've got a lot of more stories to go. Donald Trump has attacked Ron DeSantis. Ron DeSantis has finally fired back. I hope they rip each other to shreds, but I have all those clips for the patrons. The next half hour is patrons only. Patreon.com/the BPD show to get access to it. None of the commercial interruptions. Make sure you go over there. Everyone else, have a great day, and I'll see you tomorrow.